Good morning. Happy Epiphany. The church new year was a few weeks ago. The world celebrated it this year, but we're still in the midst of the Christmas season. In fact, tomorrow is actually Epiphany, but in the United States, we tend to follow a calendar that allows us to place it as close to a Sunday as we can, as we have a choice today, and I chose, to celebrate Epiphany, because otherwise it's tomorrow and we'd have a second service, and I don't know, many of you be here. And I think this is a great day to celebrate in the life of the church. It's the culmination of our Christmas season, not the end of it, it's the culmination of it. It's the coming together of all the things that make Christmas so wonderful. We heard in the first reading today from the book of the prophet Isaiah about a time that is coming. Now, why is it important for us all these years later to hear about a time that is coming that has already happened? Because God is true. God is trustworthy. We're able to take His word and say and understand that when He says something is going to happen, it's going to happen. How do we know that? Because we not only have the prophecy from Isaiah, but we have the fulfillment found in the second reading today. For in this time, God is revealing things to us, and I would argue that that day is still today. We still live in the apostolic age, in the new age of understanding and Messiah being among us. We live in the messianic age. But the time is now at hand when God reveals things He has not revealed in the past. I would argue that we have a continuing epiphany in our world, because God is continuing to reveal Himself in deeper ways to us in our own personal walk with Him, but also in the corporate walk of the church with Him as we grow closer and closer to those days we call eternity. And then we get our gospel story this morning, one that we're fairly familiar with. We all know about the three kings, right? It's not what the scripture said. The scripture said there were magi who came from the east and they brought three gifts. What about three kings? There may have been three, there may have been 10. There may have been 100. We don't know what the number was, because scriptures don't actually tell us how many people literally there were. It tells us how many different gifts there were. And there might have been, you know, two bags of gold and four bags of frankincense, and we don't know. What we know is that the magi from the east, the kings from the east, came bearing gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And when they arrived in Jerusalem looking for this child, and they went to King Herod and they said, "We understand there's been a king born." And we've all heard the story about, you know, if you're a king, you don't want to hear about another king being born, especially if he's not your child. That's not good news. The Magi thought they were coming to do something great, and they go to the king. "We understand there's been a king born. Can you tell us where to find him?" "No, I can't, but we're going to figure this out together." Now, if we understand King Herod a little better, and I'll take you into a little bit of secular history. We talked about at Christmas how important it was that we knew who was the emperor in Rome at the time that Jesus was born, because we can now pinpoint a time and a place in history. We can use the story of King Herod to pinpoint a time and a place in history, which makes the story real. A lot of people say, "Oh, that's a great fairy tale." No, it's not a fairy tale, because we can place it in a perfect spot in history. Some of you have heard me tell this story before, especially if you went to Israel with us, because we went to some of the places that this history is about. But the journey of King Herod and another couple of people that we all know about from history. How many of you have heard about this woman named Cleopatra? I mean, you may have even seen a movie about her. It could have been a couple of different actresses, depending on what generation you were in when you watched the movie. And there was this other figure who was in Greece named Mark Antony. We've heard about they had a great love affair, and it was almost like maybe that's the story of Romeo and Juliet, because they both took their own lives when things weren't going so well. But King Herod is part of that story. See, King Herod was an ally of Mark Antony and Cleopatra just a few years before the birth of Christ. The whole story you know about those other figures happens just before the birth of Christ. But while Mark Antony and Cleopatra decided to take their own lives to get out of trouble with Caesar because they had tried to overthrow him in a coup, that's really what was going on in that story, King Herod didn't want to end his life. And he knew he had an ace up his sleeve. He was the ruler over Judea, and nobody really wanted to be in Judea. King Herod was okay with it because one of his parents happened to be Jewish, and so he almost fit in with the culture a little bit. It wasn't completely out of sorts for him. And so he goes to Caesar and says, "I tell you what, I know I messed up. I know I chose the wrong side to be on in this deal. But to show you my loyalty to you, I've had an epiphany. You are the Caesar, and I don't want to die. I tell you what, Caesar, to show you how loyal I am to you, I'm going to build you a city. And that city is going to be named in your honor. It's going to be called Caesarea. Still there today, by the way. If you ever go to the Holy Lands on a tour, you'll get an opportunity to see Caesarea and the Roman aqueducts and all these things that are still there, the amphitheater that overlooks the Mediterranean Sea. So Herod knows he's on a little bit of thin ice. I mean, okay, Caesar let me live. I built him a city. Everything's well and good. As long as we keep peace, nothing bad happens. Wait a minute, there's another king in town. This isn't going to go well for me. Not only is it going to mess up my place of honor and prestige, but what if Caesar finds out I've let another king be born in the territory I'm supposed to be controlling? And so we know the story that King Herod then said, where is this child to be born? Well, the prophecies say in Bethlehem, fine, let's get rid of all the children under the age of two. And Bethlehem will surely, that'll clean the slate. We'll make sure we don't have any problems going on. Now, the epiphany that Herod had was not the epiphany we want to talk about this morning. It's a epiphany. But the Magi then made their way to where they found the child. The scriptures tell us in a home. They entered the home, and there the child was with his mother. And the first thing they do is they fall prostrate before him. They offer worship before him. And they present him with gifts worthy of a king. Common people weren't carrying gold around. Even small pieces of gold weren't being carried around by the common people. Common people might have access to some frankincense, but probably not a lot of it because it was an expensive incense. Only people of means would have something to make the smell of the day a little better because they lived in a time and a place where there weren't a million colognes for sale at the local store, and they didn't bathe daily and all those kind of things. The smell of the world was just around you. If you've been to a third world country and spent much time there, you get the gist of that. And they surely weren't stockpiling myrrh. Myrrh is a very pungent incense. It's a very strong smell. I will tell you this. If I could take you to an incense store and let you smell of all the smells, myrrh is probably one of the last ones you would choose to buy. It's not pleasant, but it is so strong that it will cover up the worst of smells, namely death. Strong enough that it can cover up even the smell of death. So the gifts they came bearing were gifts worthy of a king. Worthy of an earthly king, though. What we celebrate today is Epiphany. In certain parts of the world, even though they will still use the word Epiphany, they will also say this is the day of the kings. Wow. We got a preacher in our midst. Be careful. That was an amen if y'all didn't catch that. That was it. That was affirmation in what we're talking about this morning. But it's the day of the kings. It's the day of enlightenment. It's the day of coming to understanding. Can you imagine for a moment if you had come from a far off place, you had never been exposed to the prophecies of the Messiah. But you saw a star unlike any other star you'd ever seen, a star that beckoned you to follow it. And you didn't even know completely why. Other than you had heard that a child was born who has become king. By the way, because you're from a foreign land, it's not going to be your king. It's somebody else's king. Knowing the Magi came from the east, they came from tribal territories. They would have had other kings that were over them and had authority over them. But they're going to see the birth of a king. And I suspect the reason they fell prostrate before him when they saw him is because in that moment they had an epiphany. In that moment, they were enlightened by the power and the glory of God made man, Jesus Christ. In much the same way, you and I are called to live a life of epiphany, a life of revelation, a life of enlightenment. Not a singular moment in time, but a life that journeys us further and further down the road, closer and closer to eternity and a life with Jesus forever. I think back to a movie, not a religious movie, a few good men, if you saw it a long time ago. And there comes a point where, on trial, the lawyer says, "We just want the truth." And the person on the stand says, "You can't handle the truth." Oh, how many times, I know I have, I can't speak for any of you, but how many times have we gone before the Lord going, "Just show me what I need to do. Just show me the fullness of time. Just show me where we're going, how we're going to get there. Give me all the details." And I would argue that Jesus sits on his throne and says, "You can't handle that much. You can only handle what I can give you today. Tomorrow I'll give you a little bit more. The next week I'll give you a little bit more. I'll take you a little bit further down the journey." We're called to a life of enlightenment, a life of epiphany, a life that leads us closer and closer to the Lord. And today is a day we come together to celebrate the first great epiphany of the faith, as the Magi were transformed in their thinking by being in the presence of the Lord. But you and I too have the opportunity every time we come together in worship to be in His presence, to have a new epiphany. It's not a change of the old. The old is still true. It's a building upon that foundation that we're called to have a new epiphany. I need to learn a little bit more about the Lord today than I knew yesterday. I might read the same scripture I read a year ago and it might have a new understanding to me because I've come close to the Lord. I know Him better. I think there's a reason that Scripture, Old Testament, New Testament, refers to our relationship with the Lord as being one that embodies symbolically marriage. Because in marriage, we do the same thing. If we knew everything about our spouse the day we got married, we'd have a boring marriage. It probably wouldn't last very long. Doesn't mean you need to keep secrets from one another. It's just that the longer we're married, the more is revealed about them, maybe even to themselves, and that gets revealed then therefore to the spouse. And we know a little bit more how to make them happy, how to surprise them, how to give them the right kind of gifts that are going to bring about the right course of action that we want. It's not different with the Lord. As we get to know Him more, we understand better how to worship Him. We understand better how to honor Him. We understand better how He loves us, deeper how He loves us. And we become enlightened to a deeper and more powerful understanding of who He is, not only as our Creator, not only as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, but as everything that matters, even the very essence of the breath that we breathe. May today be another day of enlightenment for us. And may tomorrow bring us closer to Christ in eternity. Amen.